Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND. I will be opening the call today, and then Bishop Jackson will be joining us in a few minutes. Want to pass on Senator Cruz's apologies. We had Senator Cruz scheduled the last two times, has not worked out too well for us, but we had Senator Cruz scheduled to be our guest today, and they decided to schedule a Judiciary Committee hearing, and so he is not available. So we decided, well, let's just talk. Let's find out what's going on in people's hearts and minds and see what the issues are. So I'll open in prayer. I will get the conversation started, and as I said, then Bishop Jackson will be joining us in a few minutes. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to get together on this call. Thank you for the vision for the National Awakening Conference call, and for what it what the possibilities are of just having intelligent and wisdom-filled conversations about what's happening in our world, what's happening in this country. Lord, we're again grateful for this country. We're grateful for the United States of America. We're grateful for the freedom that we experience here. And we're asking that you would continue to do a good work in this country and restore us once again to that place of being a shining city on a hill. We thank you for all of these patriots on this call, these folks who are standing strong for this country and for the restoration of constitutional government and for life and family and all the standards, the principles that you have laid down for us. And so again, guide our conversation, give us insights, give us wisdom to know how to move forward as we are approaching a new year. So again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I'll get the conversation started. Again, you can press star 6 to get in queue to enter into the conversation. But what I wanted to start with today is something, what I believe to be the most significant issue, not only as Americans, but as people all over the world. I remember about 15 years ago or so, I heard David Barton make the statement that if you want to know how to vote, look at where a person stands on life. If they're right on life, they'll be right on everything else. If they're wrong on life, they'll be wrong on everything else. And that is kind of the standard that I have looked at probably, you know, most of my voting life at least. But recognizing, you know, I think, I'm not sure if it was Thurgood Marshall, one of the justices when Roe v. Wade was decided 50 years ago, that if we could come to an understanding of when life begins, the whole abortion question goes away. And the interesting thing to me is we do know when life begins. And there is no question biologically, there's no question spiritually when life begins. And so, you know, we could, if we decided to, we could do away with the abortion question. But what's happening, I think, in a lot of ways is that Republicans, conservatives, but Republicans in general, we've been on the defensive on this issue for so long that we're afraid to stand up and say, hey, this is where you draw the line. You know, we talk about 20-week bans. We talk about 15-week bans. We talk about the heartbeat laws and not dealing with the real issue. When does human life begin? If human life begins at conception, which I believe it does, then any abortion is the doing away of a human life. And if we understand from Scripture that all life is valuable, all life is worth protecting, then where do we get off by excusing 15-week band, your 15-week limits or 20-week limits or heartbeat limits, or, you know, that there's so many ways to look at this in the sense of if this is a human being, which how else could it be anything but? If this is a human being, what gives us, mother or father or any or doctor or anyone else, the right to do away with that life? And if we look back over at least the last 50 years and longer for those who violated the law, how many lives have been snuffed out? How many potential leaders and scientists and all those persons who could have contributed great things to the world, great things to society, never had a chance? And you know, we look at this and say, well, this is a woman's right to choose. And it's like the woman chose, except for the I'm sure we'll get into this at some point, except for rape, the woman has chosen. If you have consensual sex, you're choosing, at least without contraception, you're choosing to propagate. You're choosing to have to bring another life into the world. And so, and like I said, we'll get into the rape question in a bit. But it's astounding to me that, as I said, Republicans have been on the defensive on this. Why are we on the defensive? We have the position, the life position that has the answer to this question, and we're running around the edges of it and think, well, you know, we need to compromise here. Why are we compromising on this? If we compromise on this, we'll compromise on anything else. And then we wonder why we lose elections. So it's interesting to me that we as conservatives tend to look at any other option except the one option that Bishop Jackson put forward in his presidential campaign. Let's define life at conception. I'd say if life begins at conception, then abortion is outlawed. That's just the way it is, and that's the way it ought to be. And so where do we go from there? Do we keep looking at well, let's allow 10 weeks. Let's allow heartbeat. Let's allow all these things. Well, as long as we're willing to allow any abortion, then the abortion rights people are always going to win, because people look at that and say, well, I guess it's really not that important, one way or the other. So I know there's lots of questions, and I'm sure we'll get into some of those. But you know, we can talk about a lot of other issues as well. We can talk about Israel. We can talk about the unfair judicial system or justice system that we're facing with the DOJ and the way that the FBI and others have been used by this administration and probably other administrations to persecute rather than prosecute. So there's all kinds of other issues to talk about, but as I said, I believe the life issue is the most crucial question that we're dealing with right now. And as we continue to walk out elections and choosing leaders and all of those kinds of things, then we need to be aware of what the real issues are. So again, press star 6 to get into the conversation. Not sure if Bishop is with us yet or not. Let me look here real quick. No, he's not with us yet. So Bishop Jackson will be joining us in a few minutes. So, Vanity, let's go ahead and open that or respond to the first caller. Thank you.
Hello, this is Pastor John Elam with Ministers Taking a Stand, recently retired from the ministry. I had another question, but I want to skip it because I'd like to make a point about what you said, which I think is very insightful. One of the main sins and the main problems that most all politicians and most all people have is trying to seek agreement so that there is not conflict. I think if we're going to follow the truth, which is the fact that at conception there is a human being, we're going to have to understand we're going to be vilified, we're going to be slaughtered, we're going to be taken down, and still stand and say it. And I'd like your thoughts on this, because all the politicians I know will say to me personally, if they're conservative, that they believe life begins at conception, and then they will compromise once they get into Congress. So I'd like your thoughts on the fact that we just got to accept we're going to get whipped around a little bit and stand strong. Thank you.
Thank you for that that thought. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Whenever you take a stand, no matter what your stand is, whenever you take a stand, you're going to get opposition. It doesn't matter what your stand is. And but are we going to stand on the truth or not? I guess, you know, that's the ultimate question. If we're going to stand on the truth, then yes, we're going to get some opposition. But I think in the long term, we're going to win on that issue. Because if you continue to bring the question, and again, I say put the other side on the defense. Like we as conservatives have been on the defense on this issue. There's no reason for us to be on the defense. We have the truth on our side. Put the other side on the defense. You know, if it's okay to abort a baby at 10 weeks, 15 weeks, 20 weeks, 40 weeks, right up to the point of birth, which is what's being promoted right now, is it a question of dependence on the mother? Is that, you know, is that why it's a mother's or a woman's right to choose? Well, a newborn baby is also dependent on someone. So a month, 2 months, a year, how long after birth should the mother have a right to choose? You know, start looking at it from a perspective of your arguments, your pro-abortion arguments are full of holes. They're full of fallacies, because you can't argue that you can do away with a child in the womb and not have the same right to do away with the child after birth. It's not logical. But you know, again, I appreciate your point, because yeah, we're going to have opposition. We're going to be called names. In fact, we're being called names now. These last elections here in Virginia and the 2023 elections. You know, and I know that happened in Ohio with the constitutional amendment and other places where this issue is being promoted. We're being accused of things that we're not guilty of. You know, we're going to have mothers arrested. We're going to have, you know, I saw political ads where we said we're advocating the death penalty for women who have abortions. Well, there's no one in their right mind that does that. But they're free to lie through their teeth about this issue. So, yeah, we're going to have opposition. Let's take the next question.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Melvin Johnson from Texas.
Hey, Pastor Melvin.
And God bless each and every one of you. And the thing about it is, as I listen to you, and you're so right, Pastor, because we are always backed into a corner, and part of that reason is because we have always fallen for the enemy's language. I'm an advocate of calling it as it is. You know, abortion is a clinical medical term, and when I speak with people, particularly in the Black community, for example, they associate the word abortion with the Republican Party to start off with. Let me suggest, and this is my opinion also, you see, abortion is child sacrifice. And if we use that term, you see, abortion does not really produce much thought to generate a response in many cases. It's something that people gloss over, don't think about. But when you think about child sacrifice, we can also compare this act of child sacrifice to the civilizations and the cultures that have practiced it historically, you know, and where are they now? They no longer exist to the most part. So I think we should be mindful of accepting and adopting the enemy's language and just call it as it is. This is one reason why we lose the arguments, because when we try to debate the enemy with the enemy's weapons and his language, we're conceding to that also. So I recommend that we start thinking about abortion being what it actually is, child sacrifice. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Johnson. That's an excellent, excellent point. You know, again, I think even the terms that we use, you know, if we come at an argument, you know, well, we're talking about the woman's right to choose. Again, I'm going back to this last election here in Virginia. You know, some of the ads, they're trying to take away a woman's right to choose. Well, a woman doesn't have a right to choose. That's made up. That's not even reality. Who gave a woman the right to choose? You know, we made that up. So by adopting that language, as Pastor Johnson said, by adopting that language, we fit into what they want us to talk about. So yeah, let's go. We could say use the term. Let's go for the jugular. Let's go and really deal with it the way it is. But why did, you know, read back through the Old Testament? Why did kings like Manasseh and others of Israel sacrifice their children? That was one of the things I just read that this morning in Second Chronicles. You know, that Manasseh sacrificed not just one, but his children. So why did that happen? And then compare that to why do we have abortions? Is it a matter of convenience? Is it a matter we talk about unplanned pregnancy. Well, I'm a result of an unplanned pregnancy, so should I have been aborted? And again, I like to go back to what Ronald Reagan said. You know, it's interesting that all those who are for abortion have already been born. You know, and I think that's a question we can back to say, well, if you advocate for a woman's right to choose, well, what about your mother? If you advocate for, you know, this life at whatever point of development is not valuable, well, what about your life? Who says your life is valuable? I agree with Pastor Johnson, because when we adopt the other person's language, just like what I said at the beginning of compromise, you know, if we're going to compromise with evil, what did the Apostle Paul say? You know, what relationship does good have with evil, with light and darkness, and the Spirit of God with Baal? We can't compromise with evil. But that's what we've done. Let's take the next question.
Good morning. This is Jose, all the way in California. Gentlemen, got a question for you, and that is the approximate loss of life from abortion around 60 million since it was instituted in the early 70s? And would that be a comparable quantity of the number of people that America is allowed to immigrate into the United States? So if the whole theory is population control, there's no change. They've substituted the immigrants for the other people. And is this then more a discrimination issue that they promote abortion in certain racial communities that the Democrats don't like? And in exchange for a complicit and a subservient voter that they can get. And that's a discrimination issue. And the second thing is, with the Guttmacher Institute, the survey, which is almost a pro-abortion institute, they say the majority of women do not want to get an abortion. It is from the coercion and duress from husbands, boyfriends, family members, and, you know, a society and Holly Wicked that promotes this. God bless you, gentlemen, and thank you.
Thank you, Jose. Those are good questions. The whole issue is really interesting. You know, and that last statement. Let me deal with that last statement. You know, a woman who really understands what an abortion is, and that's why they fight the pregnancy center so strongly. You know, if you give a woman an ultrasound and they see that child in the womb, you know, over 90% from the figures that I've seen, over 90% of those women are going to choose life. And so, you know, if a woman understands what she's about to do, and is not coerced, is not pushed or bullied, we use one of the left terms, into this, you know, they're going to choose that child. I remember, and this is a, you know, part of our family, and I won't mention names, but I remember years ago, one of my relatives, he said his wife was pregnant, and they went to the doctor, and they saw an ultrasound, and his eyes were open for the first day. He said, they told us in school that was just a mass of cells. He said, that's a baby. And said, you know, at no point, and this is another issue that I think we need to deal with, at no point from conception on is it just a mass of cells. There's always a developing embryo. And so I think a lot of these situations where you have, like in Ohio, in this last election where they passed this constitutional amendment, we've been lied to, and they continue to lie to us. They continue to make it sound like it's something other than what it is. And so if we knew the truth, and I believe, and the discrimination, the racial aspect of it is just as much a part of this as anything else. Why do they put Planned Parenthood facilities in minority neighborhoods? That's a question that I've never heard anybody give an intelligent answer to. You know, if it's not for population control in those communities, then what is it? So, yeah, the discrimination issue is something that I think we also have on our side. If we're going to make that, if we're going to make positive arguments for life, that's one thing that needs to be continually pointed out. And the fact that, again, the last figures I saw, that there are more black babies aborted in New York City than born. What does that say? What would the black population of this country be today if all of those little black babies had not been sacrificed, as Pastor Johnson said? And then, going to the population control issue, which I had never even given a thought to, but yet, if you go to the population control issue, yeah, it's not working. You know, it's like those who accuse President Trump of being a dictator. If he wanted to be a dictator, he did a lousy job of it. And if abortion is about population control, we're doing a lousy job of it because, as Jose pointed out, we're letting as many illegal immigrants into this country as we are aborting babies. So it's not population control as it is control. It's simply government control. And in a conversation I had earlier with Bishop Jackson, you know, abortion is an anti-family issue. We don't want the family to prosper. We don't want, you know, the large family, the husband, wife, and a large number of children is an anomaly. It's the exception. there's hardly, even in those in public life who have large families are made fun of, are ridiculed. You know, why would you have so many children? Why not? Some of the happiest families I have ever known in my life have been families with large numbers of children. And not necessarily wealthy families either. So if you look at it from an anti-family perspective, there's another, you know, why are we opposed to the nuclear family? Why are we opposed to this level of you know, and I think it, again, you know, bottom line, of course, is an anti-God issue, because God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And if we're not going to be fruitful and multiply, well, then we're not living in obedience, and we're not following God's directive. So it's an anti-God decision. We still have more time if anybody wants to chime in. Again, we don't have to restrict this conversation to abortion, but again, or to life. But press star 6 if you want to get into the conversation. You can bring up another issue if you like. But the floor is open. I guess I'd say I pretty much had my say on this issue. Let me raise a couple other questions. We do have another question. So go ahead. Let's take the next one.
Yes. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor Ham here from Richmond, Virginia.
Hello, Pastor Ham. Welcome.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, sir. I do totally agree the life issue is a number one, because without life, none of us would be here. But with Pastor Johnson's comment, I totally agree if we would use the terminology, because death and life, the scripture says, and if we would put more scripture to our conversations, because that's the power of God. Mm-hmm. The word of God is the power of God. So it's that two-edged sword. And so I totally agree that it is child sacrifice. And when you do away with the nuclear family, I want to say, like you have said, Pastor Marlon, that it is in direct disobedience to Christ. However, the problem that I'm seeing, even on the streets, because we are on the streets and we are at the abortion meals, I call them. We're at the abortion meals here in Richmond at 201 Hamilton Street and North Boulevard. Those meals, people will turn and ask us questions like, have you... Well, if you haven't, if you disagree with me aborting my child, they use the term. We don't use the term aborting out there. We use the term killing your child. But however, so many incidents, about every week you can hear someone say to us, well, what about adoption? Have you all taken on, you that are standing here, have you taken on adoption? Have you adopted a child? And it gets silence on our part because we haven't followed through even with an answer for them to, I will take on your child and adopt your child. So I think we need more answers positively toward these people or toward the mother and the father that are trying to abort their, kill their children. So I just wanted to say that short comment, Pastor Marlon, because we too need to think as Christians. We say we are conservative also, yes, but first of all, we are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And have mm-hmm. we taken on, have we taken on the idea of adopting children from these parents? And I think if we did more and promote more of adoption, because I work with the Pregnant Support Center here in Richmond also on the East End, and yes, we need more Christians to step up and say, I will adopt. I'll bring children out of foster care. You know, we can bring some positiveness to the conversation also. This will help a lot. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Ham. That's a good time. I'm glad you raised the adoption question because I think that's one thing, you know, when I saw this recently on Facebook, you know, there is no such thing as an unwanted child. Someone wants that child. Someone would be willing to adopt that child. I think the question is, where do we make those connections? How do we get that young girl who got pregnant, is considering killing her child? How do we get that young girl connected to someone who is not able to have a child and would love to adopt that baby? I know there's good Christian organizations that work very hard at that, but it's almost an issue that's too big for the way things are structured now. I heard someone say not too long ago, if every church in America would arrange for one child to be adopted, we could solve this issue tomorrow. But I think there's so many, as Pastor Ham said, Christians who aren't aware or not involved in this issue, in this, and again, what at least I'm calling, and I've heard several people now today who said they agree, that this most significant issue, that we just go merrily on our way and not give any thought to what's going on around us. As I heard someone earlier today say, you know, we're not involved, as many churches, we're not involved at all in our communities. You know, we gather on for maybe a couple hours or so on Sunday, and then we go on about our daily lives, and what's happening across the street or next door or down the street or across town doesn't concern us. That's not Christianity. That's not biblical Christianity. You know, biblical Christianity is we get involved in other people's lives. And so, you know, just that one statement, that if every church in America would make it a priority to adopt at least one child, we would solve that issue tomorrow. Let's take one more question.
Pastor Jim Wright, can you hear me?
I can, Jim. Welcome.
Welcome. I love the conversation. It's half of my life's been dedicated to this whole concept. Let me give you a couple of stats. The only way you have the number of about 63 million babies, that's an old number now, is because each state has to report to the CDC in Atlanta. That's where the number comes from. If your state does not report, they don't have the number. Most people in this industry, pro-life industry, put the number at least at 100 million. At least. That's one-third of all babies. One-third of all babies. When you look at a classroom, you're missing one-third of all babies. Now, The ministry I started in the 90s, which I have now, and I'm hoping to raise $100 million. If you go to my Facebook page, get an email from me, you'll see this. $100 million. I'm after the richest people in America. Why? There's about 2,800 pregnancy care centers in America. The lady just called in. It's got two there around Richmond. They're everywhere. There's at least 10 to 15 around D.C. Every pregnancy care center generally has an annual fundraising event.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to multitude of them. That's how they fund their budget. However, the problem is they're trying to make their bills, pay their rent, pay their staff, etc. Very, very valid. I love it. We are very supportive, and the ministry I have is called birthmotherministries.org. That's the website, birthmotherministries.org. We trade as birth mothers. Why the name? Because we'd like to see adoption promoted. A birth mother is a woman that's placed for adoption. The term can be both birth mother, two words, or one word. The word birth mothers with an S at the end has been trademarked by us. And I can write birth mothers with an R. Kind of neat. Takes a lot of money. Money I used to have. And anyway, right now the ministry is a virtual mode because I'm waiting to raise money to go nationally looking for a director. Here's the deal. We are church-based. We want to help the pregnancy care centers. We want to unite the pregnancy care centers. There's two chains in America now. One chain has about 1,000. That's CareNet. Maybe they have 1,100 now. They're affiliations. If people listen to my name, my voice now, they pay a fee. This is all valid and all good to be a part of CareNet. Or the other one is Heartbeat at Ohio. Okay, Heartbeat's Ohio. CareNet's here in Loudoun County, famous Loudoun County. Anyway, they do a great job, but they try to network and be together. But each center struggles on its own. Here in Tidewater, I am now, and I'm born and raised in Portsmouth, up in Northern Virginia for 30-some years, and still connected there a lot. They don't have the money to tell you what you've been talking about today. If, for example, a pregnancy care center around Richmond had the money to be on TV, what would happen? If you said to a woman watching TV, hey, there's a choice. Come to see us here at our center. Talk to us about the options available to you. Talk to us about the prospect of adoption. What would happen? Well, that's where the money comes from. Right now, birth mothers ran around D.C. We're in Southeast D.C. with black people. We were in an apartment complex where 90% of the complex was single mothers. Single mothers. You want to know why the boys are running around without a dad? And now, you know, in D.C., they've had 320-some killings so far this year, D.C. Metro or D.C. downtown. The point of this is that Christ is the answer, folks. Jesus Christ is the answer, and this is spiritual matter. All the things I'm talking about are spiritual, and we need a revival. This is the crux of the matter. America has walked away from his first love, which is the Bible, and the church has. And here's the deal. Our ministry is church-based, so we had several churches involved. What happens? We match a friend, a constant, dedicated, non-judgmental friend to that pregnant woman, black, white, Asian, Muslim, Jew. We serve them all. We show them love. We help them to navigate the marketplace. We can tell you right now that if you look at my brochure, there's a multitude of things a woman needs at pregnancy care centers. One of them, we got referrals from pregnancy care centers because they can't handle all the needs. Because here's what happens, folks. Why is birth mothers created? Back in the 90s, I went after a ministry called One Church, One Child. Pastor, you may have mentioned that. But that was called One Church, One Child. I was a successful commercial real estate guy, and the lady says, this is 1994. She says, sir, go down to Atlanta area. She said, sir, we don't need you. We love you, but we don't want any attention. Why is that, man? Because we receive some state funds, and we don't want any marketing guy to bring any attention to us because we might lose our state funds. I don't know if they exist today, but it's called One Church, One Child, and it was a great concept. The reason I had to start Burisma is because it doesn't. What I just talked about, having a friend, a mentor, does not exist, folks. And I plan to move that forward, and I have a plan for 1 million mentors in America from America's churches, networking the pregnancy care centers. That's what I do. That's what we're doing. I've been waiting. The reason I'm in Tidewater, Pastor, is because this is my pursuit. And politics is a part of this because politics, the killing of babies is a part of politics now. And as you know, I don't have the paperwork done. I am running for the 3rd District Congressional seat. I've already announced on Facebook, the chairman of the party knows, and I'm pro-life from conception to natural death. There's no compromise for me. There's no around the edges, as somebody, I maybe used that term. They've been around the edges, folks. When life is created, when that woman's made a choice to produce life with that man, that baby needs to be protected. And that's where I stand. I don't move one iota. And I've already run for office here, you know, and got 34% of the vote with no mail-outs. Nothing. Zero. And I was pro-life. And my Facebook page is right there. You can go to Jim Wright in Portsmouth. But I did not compromise. I will not compromise. I am for Jesus Christ and his word all the time. There's nobody who can come with any amount of money to change my mind. And going back to birth mothers, if you came to me, folks, and you said, you know, this happened to me, because we had 188 friends when 9/11 happened, 188 friends. And we got crushed because all the money went down, my money went down. But somebody said to me, Jim Wright, would you take this Jesus thing out? You know, you got a great concept here of a mentoring organization. But if you take out this religious thing, this thing will explode. Because our friends have to be dedicated believers of Jesus Christ. And they have to sign a statement saying just that. So not everybody's going to be a friend. Not everybody's going to be a mentor. They're going to be a child of God, a lady of God. Because let me tell you what drives my boat. When you sit with the women I sat with, folks, multiple, weeping in front of me, weeping, crying their heart out, saying this, if only I could have chosen life, adoption, anything, because my heart is breaking. And there's about 20 million ladies estimated now that hurt in America. Mm-hmm. From this awful choice. So God bless everybody. By the way, I just saw this film. It's 2 hours long, called The Black Genocide. And 37 to 40% of all babies are black. And I'm telling you right now, nobody knows about this. Maybe they've seen this video, but the TV and the money is to market this concept of life and adoption. And I'm waiting for that multimillionaire to come in to drop that money down so we can start to be national and international with birth mothers. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. You've raised an issue I want to jump in on real quick, and then we have one more caller. CPC, or Crisis Pregnancy Center here in Tidewater, is the one I'm most acquainted with. And of course, Google discriminates against these crisis pregnancy centers. And, you know, and again, people, you know, in California and other places have tried to pass legislation to, you know, that you have to promote abortion. If you're going to be a pregnancy center, you have to promote abortion. You at least have to give the mothers the option of abortion. And so Google discriminates, and these crisis pregnancy centers have to pay large sums of money to get their websites up on Google at a place where when women say, you know, put in unplanned pregnancy or you know, abortion or something, that these options are available to them. And so, you know, the finances, like Jim said, you know, the finances that are required to run these crisis pregnancy centers is astounding. And much of the church, I'd say the majority of what we call the church in the United States of America, is not involved at all. And you know, again, if the church would get involved in this issue, we could make a significant difference. Vanity, I think we had one more. My internet just went down, so I can't follow this. But I think we had one more question.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is Dr. John Hunter here with Learn, Life Education Resource Network. And I have an office with a few people here from other places with Crisis Pregnancy Center standing in with us. I wish Bishop Jackson was here because there's a lot of things going on, but I want to bring us to a real reality here. God is getting ready to hit this nation. And there's no coming around to it, but what we got to do as a church is stand still and be solid. If the church can be solid when the things really go down, it'll be like everybody getting aboard the ark. The flood is coming. But you got to make sure you're on board. What is happening, we got the war going on in Hamas attacked Israel, and you know about that, and that was just outright horrible, so horrible, they even put video stuff out there, and yeah, I wouldn't even recommend everybody look at it. Some of the videos that the Hamas put out there is so horrible, it's hideous, they're barbaric. But the child sacrifice is right in there, even not even to the point where we're talking about aborting the children, where they actually went in and beheaded little babies. And then we're dealing with the other things that are happening right here in this nation. Our borders are wide open right now. Who knows who has crossed over into it? Our college has educated so many people that we actually have Hamas sympathizers. Hitler had his brown soldiers, I forgot what they called, but the brown troops.
Brown shirts, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep, the brown shirts. And right here, our college have raised up brown shirts right here in America. And so that stuff is going to come back and it's getting ready to haunt us. The America's a nice nation, but we got some bad leadership. It's like whenever you notice God, he punished the nation, not based on so much it looked like what the nation was doing, but who was who was running that nation. If you had a wicked king, you were going to deal with God and the whole nation was going to suffer because the nation had issues with getting that person in that position. And now we're at a part where we got a lot of immigrants coming across. They're trying to close down black schools so they can actually move immigrants in. Chicago is starting up its trouble. If you can't watch the news and see it, you got to actually go online and do some research and see what people in Chicago are doing to fight against it. Chicago has put down the bluntly. Blacks are determined that they're no longer going to be voting Democrats. And you don't hear about that in Chicago no more. They're saying open doors open now for everybody. Meanwhile, the Republicans got to be careful here in North Carolina. We have a black lieutenant governor who's powerfully pro-life, loved by everybody. And they can say what they want, but it was a crazy election, which I don't think was really right. The Democrat actually won the governorship, and a Republican won the lieutenant governorship. I don't believe people split votes like that, so I know there's a mess going on. But nevertheless, we got now he's getting ready for governor. And as he's running for governor, Republicans now want to run somebody else against him. They don't need to do that. We got to be wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm bringing this to one reason. Things are getting ready to go down, y'all. And I'm right here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we have Fort Liberty. It used to be Fort Bragg right here beside us. And whatever happens, the church is going to have to be real strong. And, yes, there are people that adopt. I have a pastor who adopted 5 children. I have a friend that adopted 3 children. You know, there are things. But you got to understand that the work with the Crisis Pregnancy Center, the abortion-minded woman, even adoption is an A word to her. So we got to be careful. But nevertheless, Everything everybody been saying on these calls is great. I just need everybody to do one thing now. We need Bishop Jackson here back on these calls, and also we need everybody to let everybody else know about this call. So on Tuesday, next Tuesday come around, there'll be more people listening in because the words that came across from people on this call have been dynamic, and each one of them got a role to play. But we need to be here for it. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Hunter. And that's just a reminder to me. You may not be aware, but after these calls are recorded, and after the call, that call gets placed on the Stand website, standamerica.us. You can go to standamerica.us, click on NAC call, and all the calls, I don't know how far back it goes. It goes back years. All the calls are on there. And if you missed a call, or if you want a friend or someone to hear what was said, you can go to the website, click on that call. You can send it out. You can download it. Whatever you want to do with it, it's available. And so after this call is over, we'll put that on the website. You can go there and get it and promote it and do whatever you want to with it. I just want to mention next week we've got Pastor Reza Safa, who grew up in Iran. We're getting him to talk about what's going on with Islam, what's going on with Hamas, why Hamas, as Pastor Hunter just said, did such despicable things. What's behind this? So you want to be on that call and promote that. We're coming up to the end of the year. We need your support. Stan needs your support. We need your financial support. We have an individual who's willing to match all donations this month up to $50,000. So if you have a dollar you want to donate, that'll be $2. You have $5, that'll be $10. You have $100, that'll be $200. But go to standamerica.us, click on donate, and help us to reach that match of $50,000 by the end of this month. As Bishop says, stand up, speak up, refuse to back up. We cannot be defeated if we do not quit, for we are on God's side.